Welcome to the My Morning After podcast. Before we get to the juicy conversation, please bear with us while we get through some essential information. It'll only take about 30 seconds. I promise. The My Morning After podcast is brought to you by Ella One, the most effective morning after pill. Ella One film-coated tablet for emergency contraception and contains ulipristal acetate. Always read the label. Verify the most effective morning after pill claim at ellaone.co.uk/verify. The opinions you're about to listen to in this podcast belong to the individuals expressing them and do not indicate the views or opinions of Ella One. None of the healthcare professionals in this podcast series endorse any medicinal brands or products. The box I'm holding here contains the morning after pill. It's just one little packet, but with a whole lot to unpack. If I told you I was going to take emergency contraception today, what would you think about my actions and me as a person? Would you make assumptions? Judgments? Maybe you'd think I was turning to this tablet because I was too lazy, forgetful, or irresponsible to keep tabs on using regular contraceptives. Or maybe you're not thinking any of that. And I hope not, because the truth is that there are all sorts of reasons why a person might take the morning after pill. Yet there's often a huge fear of judgment running through people's minds when they seek emergency contraception. And a big old bunch of misunderstandings, myths, mysteries, and questions. That's why Ella One, the most effective morning after pill, started the My Morning After campaign. Hashtag My Morning After encourages women and non-binary and trans folks and guys as well to share their real-life emergency contraception stories and support each other so that fewer people will feel ashamed or isolated by the experience of getting the morning after pill should they choose to. It also aims to deliver some solid facts and start intriguing chats. I'm Alex Fox, journalist, broadcaster, sex educator and your host. Lucky you. Hope you're feeling so on top of the world today that you need an extra canister of oxygen to cope with how thin the air is up there. In this episode, I'm joined by a pair of guests that I'd really rather call gusts because they're such a breath of fresh air. They are Talani Shanai, aka Tolly T, from the all-killer, no-filler, no-filter podcast known as The Receipts, plus comedian Alex Haddo. We talk about our mornings after, sex education in general, and femidoms. Which, it turns out a lot of us are kind of femi-dumb about. Are you ready for some learning and some laughter? 3, 2, Ella One, let's go. I think what you're best known for is being one third of the all-killer, no-filler, no-filter podcast known as The Receipts.
Yeah? Yes, The Receipts podcast, which I do with Melina Sanchez and Audrey, formerly known as Ghana's Finest. She will kill me if I don't add that part.
You dropped some pretty brutal truth bombs on that show. Mm-hmm. What's been piquing your interest lately?
Do you know what? Right, okay, so we always joke about that because I've been like celibate for a little while now. By a little while, I mean 6 years. And
not, half a decade.
I'm not frustrated or anything. I'm good. I'm fine. It's all going well. Life is great. But like we always talk about this year, I was like, I might almost do it. So that's what's piquing my interest, sex again. I'm like, oh, wait.
When you say almost do it.
When it was like a real life person, the build up to it is just better than actually doing it. Always.
Well, sitting next to you, but inching slowly away. we have Alex Haddo, who's a freelance writer, a picture editor. I think you worked for The Pool for a while and stylist. Also a comedian who is one of the co-hosts of the Dumb Women podcast. Now, can you explain that title to me and please tell me you have a fitness version called the Dumbbells?
If you saw my fitness level, you'd realise, no, we don't have that. Dumb Women podcast, the School for Dumb Women. We just take three topics every week. I do it with Hannah Varrell, who's a producer, and Caroline O'Donoghue, who's a writer and an author. And we just sort of explain things that you think you should already know about, but you don't. Like that, the first one I ever did was, how does a plane fly? Because everyone, when someone asks you, you're like, well, obviously it's the, well,
yeah,
you know, come on. What is it? All right. So, and it's just kind of it's also kind of a lighthearted poke at feminism because we all used to work in women's media. I still do. I love it. If anyone's listening. Yeah. So it's just having a bit of a laugh. And I wish I was celibate, mate. I've made some awful decisions for the past 6 years.
You're quite famous though for doing a stand-up skit about taking the morning after pill, right?
Yes, I know, which is handy. And it's also probably my favourite thing I've ever written, and I'm honestly not just saying that because I'm on this podcast. I say that because I like performing it on stage, but it's the part of any stand-up I've ever done where I get the most reaction. People always come up to me afterwards, mostly women, but also guys as well, which is nice to see, and just say like, oh my God, because I just kind of point out how strange the whole experience is compared to other things that you get at the chemist or whatever. Yeah, and I mean, as I say, mostly women always come up to me at the end and say, oh God, that's so true, I felt like that, I did this, or somebody asked me this, or the pharmacist, you know, said that. And it's just, it's quite crazy. The routine's kind of evolved because people have input so many ideas and so many things that seem so strange.
Ella One have kind of been asking everybody to do that.
Yeah.
By using the hashtag MyMorningAfter or heading to their MyMorningAfter website to share their tales of morning after pills, of sexual thrills, of, oh my goodness me, I think I've made some kind of muck up, chills. And this is one of the tales that has come out of that particular exercise. This story comes from someone anonymous who's 24 in Kent. They say,
the first time I took the morning after pill was the night after I lost my virginity. I was literally so paranoid about getting pregnant. There wasn't even any indication that the condom had failed. I was just paranoid. I guess I somewhat blame sex education and scare tactics, because whilst it is important to make sure that young people are aware of the consequences of sex, it is also important that young people know that emergency contraception shouldn't just be taken just in case. Bear in mind, I was 22 and had never had any real sexual encounters before. I simply went to the chemist and the female pharmacist asked me if the contraception had failed, and I was like, yeah, I think so. She seemed a bit pissed off that I'd asked for it. The condom definitely didn't fail. Afterwards, I felt a bit stupid knowing I was being a paranoid Pete, and I decided to go on hormonal contraception. The second time I got the morning after pill, I actually needed it. I went on the pill, but I wasn't fully covered because it was so early into taking them, so my boyfriend and I were using condoms. The condom broke, and so off we went to the chemist. It was Boxing Day, and my mum was like, why are you going shopping on Boxing Day? Anyway, this time the male pharmacist pulled us into his little office and asked us a series of questions, more on the preventing this from happening again side of things. I felt a lot more comfortable that my boyfriend was with me, but it seemed to me that the pharmacist wasn't really asking my boyfriend any questions about what had happened, but rather me. I don't know if that was a good thing or not. Did he want to hear my side of the story, or was he asking me these questions because he assumed that as a woman, it's my responsibility in making sure this doesn't happen? I don't know, but I was only comfortable because my boyfriend was with me. The final time I took the morning after pill was when I was living abroad. The condom came off and I had to get one. I researched how to ask for it in the language so I didn't look like a backpacker having one-night stands. There's nothing wrong with that, but I was living in a country that has quite traditional values. Anyway, I was with my boyfriend, I go up to the counter and I ask in the foreign language, and the pharmacist simply pulls the pill out of a drawer and looks directly at my boyfriend as if to say, well, pay then.
One thing that is not great as a double is double standards. And in this story, I felt that there were so many double standards. One of the big ones that stuck out for me was the idea that this pharmacist, whilst advising on emergency contraception, only spoke to the woman in question and didn't address her boyfriend, even though he was there, very much a part of that situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, what do we think about that? Was, as the teller of the story did observe, she wasn't sure whether the medical professional was chatting to her in that way because it was her body that was, you know, she would ultimately be the one taking that medication, or whether he just thought it was her responsibility to sort that out. What are your views on that?
I think I would have sat there and thought he was talking to me because it was my body, because I would be the one taking it. Yeah, I can't imagine being like, why is he not talking to him? Because ultimately he's not taking it. This is going to be something that's going to affect me, and the effects are going to be on my physical body. But I can understand where it's like, well, we're both in this situation and he's good to go. I have never got morning after pill and had a guy come with me ever.
I was just about to say, the nice thing about this story was that in that scenario that the guy went with her. But I swear that a guy came with me to the chemist once, but he wasn't allowed to come in to the room with me.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know, I mean, I'm going to play devil's advocate. I don't know whether that was, I didn't think that was a bad thing at the time, because I thought it was maybe preventing, you know, I don't want to go too dark, but you know, they don't want to think that the guy is making you take it or whatever.
They sometimes, sometimes you'll be taken into a room for a private discussion in a scenario like visiting the pharmacy, so that they can check that there's nothing that you want to reveal about a situation on your own.
Yeah.
Do you think that in a more broad sense, not just talking about the morning after pill, is there a double standard when it comes to who is responsible for birth control?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I was 100%.
Like, 100%. Yeah. Like, it's not even a question of like, oh, what pill are you on? Or are you on? It's just like, you've sorted yourself out, right?
Yes.
If you haven't. Like,
yeah,
it's just
exactly,
the assumption
yeah.
that of course you're sorted out yeah. because unless you want a child, of course you're sorted yourself. It's not my problem. I don't think a man has ever asked me, oh, what pill are you on? How is that going for you? Are you,
never,
you okay?
Ever, yeah.
What options are you going for? Like,
I think,
ever?
Yeah, I think I've only ever had, are you on the pill once?
Oh,
and
really?
That was, but even that was, you know, because I was like, okay, we need to use condoms or whatever. And they were like, oh, you're not on the pill.
God's sake.
Like, oh, sorry, I'm single, but I've still got to take something that alters my
STIs.
Hormones every day.
STIs, yeah, also that.
Hang on. At this point, you might be, Ella, wondering about STIs. Well, the morning after pill can't protect you from sexually transmitted infections. Condoms are the only form of contraception that can do that, as well as helping to prevent pregnancy. Used correctly, they're pretty sturdy, but if a condom breaks or you get caught up in the moment and forget to use one altogether, you can use emergency contraception to reduce the risk of falling pregnant. Condoms don't just come in versions that go on the penis either, but more on that in a sec.
Well, you can use femidoms, aka internal condoms,
okay,
now, but there's not a big uptake on those.
That's one.
I've never even
Tolly,
seen
I can
one.
See the question
honestly,
marks
right, okay.
in your eyes.
I remember in school them talking about femidoms. I was like, what is this? I have never seen one
I've
in
never
my
seen
entire
one.
Life.
Okay, they kind of look
it's
like a
myth.
Small
yeah.
windsock. I like to call them vagina liners because that's kind of how
yeah.
they work. They're about the, you know, you can get digestive biscuits in mini packs
okay.
from the corner shop. They're about the same size and cylindrical shape as those. They have a flexible ring on the inside
right.
that you kind of squeeze and pop up inside you as you would a tampon.
Okay.
And then that springs out like a pop-up tent at a festival and fits over your cervix. And then the rest of the femidom or internal condom kind of lines the vaginal canal, love that term, I've got narrow boats in mine, and hangs outside of the body.
Okay.
And they do have a variety of benefits. For a start, you can put them in a number of hours before sex.
So if you know it's going to happen,
yeah.
you're already prepped. Okay.
Exactly.
So I never know when it's going to happen. Even sometimes when they're in my room.
Okay, now.
It's always like, I know when it's going to happen. Never.
This is so awful. I thought it would be like cling film. Right. Just hear me out. When you kind of like
remind me to never look inside your lunchbox.
Put it like over your vagina, and then when the penis goes inside, it kind of like just covers it in.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Can
I know
you picture
what yeah.
I mean? And that's what I imagine femidoms to do. But
like when you
not.
Get one of your suitcases wrapped at the earth.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then that's what I know it's so flawed. I'm sorry.
Do you know what? As an experiment, I'd love to get a femidom, and the next time I bring a lad back to my house, be like, don't worry, I've got one in. But not say the word femidom. Just be like, I've got an internal condom
in.
I put it in before we came out.
Just in case this happens.
So I was really confident about this night.
So if it doesn't happen, you can take off and it's all safe and everything like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It won't do anything to
that.
You.
Preparation, fail to prepare, prepare to fail.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Believe and achieve.
But you're totally right. The majority of contraceptive methods are aimed at women. But would you trust a guy to take the pill, a contraceptive pill?
Not on a casual basis. But
absolutely
if I was in a relationship with them, I'd like to think I would
like,
trust
yeah.
them. Because I would think they probably don't want kids or do want kids.
Do you know what? I think for me it is, I don't know how much I can trust anybody else to put that power in their hands. On someone that's going to affect my body.
Yes, I see what you mean.
Do
yeah.
you know what I mean? And
yeah,
that's
yeah,
why
yeah.
maybe it confuses me that guys don't use condoms, because I can't imagine just
yeah.
trusting someone saying, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And be like, okay, cool.
But they do a lot.
But they consistently.
Yeah.
But so I don't think I would trust them. And not because they're like a man, just because I don't think I trust anybody
yeah.
for something that depends on my body. Because ultimately, if they forget or whatever, I'm going to be the one that has to deal with pregnancy. And I know it's like their problem as well, but the physicality of it's going to be on me.
Yeah, true.
So I can't imagine being like, yeah, sure, you do it.
Yeah. But then I think what annoys me about the double standards with contraception is obviously it's once you're in a long-term relationship, it makes more sense for in the current climate and with current methods for the woman to take something. But it's the assumption that you will,
uh-huh.
yeah.
as soon as you've maybe slept together more than like 6 or 7 times. You know, it's like, okay, well, you'll go on the pill, will you?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, so yeah, the and especially in the morning after pill, you know, some people can have adverse effects, some people have nothing, but guys just seem to, in general, I don't want to be horrible to all men, hashtag not all men, yeah, don't really seem to understand that it might affect you and you know. might be a bit of a time.
Well, part of the impetus for this show is to try and bust some of the myths surrounding emergency contraception. And you've picked up on one of those, Alex, which is a lot of people think they will get very, very sick or feel deeply unwell after they've taken emergency contraception. Most research shows that although it is possible to feel a bit nauseous or to have some side effects, most women are not affected in that way.
I've heard there are horrible side effects if you take the morning after pill. Well, every person's different. The morning after pill primarily affects ovulation, so your next period might be earlier, later, heavier, or lighter than usual. Some people may experience headaches and nausea as well, but generally, emergency contraception is quite well tolerated.
I've never had any side effects from it. I've always been completely fine, but I don't want to say that's the same for everybody. I think the main thing around getting the morning after pill is the way in which it's delivered to you. That's why I agreed to do this podcast, because I think it should be, the stigma should be taken away. I'm not condoning unsafe sex at all, but I'm just saying we are human and now and then it happens.
Again, that is just one reason why somebody might need the morning after pill. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily follow that they have been irresponsible or anything like that.
No.
There are a variety of reasons why you might need it.
Yeah. And I always think if you're getting the morning after pill, you're probably fairly responsible.
Yeah. Just been like, oh, whatever, I'll see what happens.
Yeah. That's what I did. And I was talking about that in the set that I do about it. I would just say like, all right, okay, so I'm being asked a series of questions to ascertain whether or not I'm responsible enough to not have a child. Like, I'm here, so I'm probably pretty conscientious about it. You know, I understand that they have to ask you certain questions, but it's the whole method of you being taken in. Usually you are on your own. The guy is gone to work.
Ella, one moment. The questions asked by a pharmacist are usually to ascertain whether the morning after pill is appropriate for you and to look after your health. The pharmacist's role is to support and advise. They aren't there to judge, and you shouldn't feel embarrassed by speaking to them. It's really important to your health to be honest. You can also look out for consultation cards in pharmacies provided by Ella One, which mean you can fill out your details rather than having to have a face-to-face consultation with someone.
Times I've had to take them, which has been twice. One was, I was really quite young, to be fair, and to the point of like, I was still in secondary school and my friend, I still owe her for this. And I told her, I was like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. And then she was like, cool, at lunchtime, we'll sneak out and we'll go to the family planning clinic. So we snuck out at lunchtime and like, she just kind of like, she'd done it, it happened. She was quite like, yeah, that's what happens.
That's
like,
exactly the same as me. My mate had done it before. Yeah.
And if it wasn't for her, I would have no idea that was an option. Because I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, it wasn't like I could go and speak to my mum and be like, hey, mum.
Yeah.
Or, like, speak to my sister. Like, here's what's happened.
Hey, mum, had a quiet night last night.
Literally, like, we snuck it at lunch. I got it. And then we got the bus back to see, like, to be in our lesson after lunch. And it was just like, she was like, you all right? I'm like, yeah. And it was just like, as normal.
You'll be glad to know you can actually buy them online now.
So, can you?
Yeah, you don't have to go to your pharmacy.
The morning after pill can be ordered online from many reputable pharmacies and retailers. Make sure you order from a place that you trust. Ella One can be purchased online at www.ellaone.co.uk. And that's one O-N-E, not the numeral.
That idea of being on holiday and needing emergency contraception came up in that story as well.
Yeah.
Thankfully, the person in question had researched how to ask for
emergency contraception in a native language.
Oh, yeah, of course.
If you're travelling, if you're going on holiday and you're worried that a scenario like that might occur and you want the kind of insurance policy, the reassurance, you can buy a type of emergency contraception that you know is reliable, something that you recognise, and carry that with you.
Okay.
Or you can just have it so that it's at your home or in your handbag or wherever in your overnight bag, so that if you do have a situation where your contraception fails or you have unprotected sex, you've got it there ready.
Right,
you can get it free on the NHS from your GP, from A&E, from a Brook Clinic, from certain youth centres. But a lot of people would rather go straight to a pharmacist and purchase it because then it's just more convenient and quicker for them.
I live in quite a small town. I remember growing up, we kind of like used to try to go to like a family planning clinic like quite far, like in the other town.
Yeah, that's
because
the thing,
we
isn't it?
We just didn't want to meet anybody. And like culturally, anytime I had like a black nurse, I was like, damn, she knows my mum. Like, every single time. And they were a bit more like lecturey, like, why are you doing this?
Oh,
I'm just
no.
like, oh. And then I found one, which I was going to get my pill, and she was honestly the most amazing woman ever. She made me feel so comfortable. But she still had that motherly, like, are you okay? Are you sure you want to be doing in this kind of like, I don't know how much advice they can give you, but it was that yeah. weird, like, I want to give you advice because you are this person. Yeah. And I'm like, you look familiar to me, so I want to help you. But then it was, I used to hate it. Like, if any time there was a black nurse, I was like, I'm going to sit there. They say my name, I just sit there looking. I'm not going. Like, I just don't want her to see me at a family party. And be like, wait, do I not?
Did I? Hang on, sit down for a minute. Yeah, put your legs up. Yeah, that's you.
Tolly, I don't know a lot about your background and heritage, yeah. but has your upbringing influenced your attitude towards contraception and sexual relationships? And-
oh, absolutely. Like, I have never had a conversation with my mum about contraception or sex. My mum calls sex fun.
Oh,
yes,
that's so a good word for
so
it.
That's doing really fun. Nice. But then it's like, hearing that as like when I was a bit younger, I was like, you're telling me it's fun, yet you're saying don't do it. These
yeah,
things
that's a confusing message.
They just don't go together, mum.
And remember, fun is bad until you're married.
Exactly. And it was a bit weird, but like, I'm of three sisters. So my mum, it's like any little thing that my sister did, she would just be worried. That I remember once she found a pregnancy test. And so considering I've got a sister that's 10 years older than me, the first one she came to was me, because she thought, worst case scenario, if it's her, that would be my biggest fear. So anything, it'll be like, come up to me and be like, what are you doing? But like, sex was never discussed, let alone like contraception. I remember when I first came on my period, I was like 13. And I remember going to go hide my underwear because I thought I did something wrong.
I think that's more common than not.
Yeah.
Like, my mum and dad were pretty open about it. But I think that's because my mum had a similar experience to you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So she'd always been kind of, like, she'd always talk, well, she wasn't like super open, but she was about periods and stuff. With contraception, it was just like, be safe. But nothing like, do you want to do this?
Do you wanna, yeah, it was but, just never a conversation, like, ever.
Yeah.
Even with, like, my sisters, I think because we were brought up that way, we never really spoke about it. But I remember I got to about a certain age, and then my sisters, like, at a certain time, her alarm would go off. I'm like, why's your alarm going off at 8 p.m. in the evenings?
I used to always say that to my older mates. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? 6 o'clock?
Yeah, why's your alarm
neighbors?
Going off?
Why have you got an alarm from neighbours?
And then I realised, like, oh, it's her pill, of course. And then it made me realise how long she's had that alarm for. And I was like, oh, yeah, she's been having sex for ages. And I just didn't want to be together at the time. So it's not until we're a bit older now that we're kind of, like, more, like, talk about it. But I still don't talk about it with my mum or anything. I remember I was seeing this guy, and then me and him stopped seeing because my mum knew his mum. She was like, what's happened? And, like, she really liked him. And I was like, oh, well, I wasn't having I'm not having sex with him. She was like, why would you do that? I'm like, you people. She's like, why would you not have sex with him? Or why would you not have fun with him? I'm like, go ahead and prosper, child.
Go ahead. Yes.
Yeah. Yet another double standard in this story, I think, about this emphasis on in a lot of people's school-based sex education on don't get pregnant,
yeah.
do
yeah.
not have sex or you will get terrible STI die. Like, really heavy scare tactics where we really have that drilled into us, you know, over and over again. I remember being really hammered home at my school.
Drilled in.
I'm making it sound very Bob the Builder, aren't I? That was reiterated time and time again that, you know, we must use condoms if we ever had sex, but we probably shouldn't have sex because it was a terrible thing to do. But then all the rest of the information about sex was just not present. There was no conversation to be had about it. And as a result, in my teens, I had a really out of touch view about how contraceptives work and actually what sex should be like and who should take responsibility for what. Similar to the person who tells this story.
I feel like growing up, because in school what I was taught about sex was very scientific, which was don't have sex, you get an STI.
Yeah.
Or you get pregnant, and here's what condoms do under an umbrella. School didn't teach me about morning after pill. It was, I feel like I heard about all these things
always
from teenage
mates.
Magazines. If it wasn't mates, teenage magazines, I knew nothing. I remember like sitting there, like there was a magazine that used to have like Position of the Week in it.
Oh yeah, more magazines. Yeah. I had to redesign that one, so it's a job. Yeah. How to illustrate
and
it.
I was entirely too young to be reading it at the time, but we used to sneak by it every week and just look at it. And that's kind of where I like learned about stuff from like the problem pages and things like that. And I think now, thank God for the internet, because
Yeah.
Honestly. But then saying that there was so many miscommunication, misinformation. I remember hearing a guy friend recently saying, oh, I heard once you take it three times, it doesn't work anymore.
Oh. No, it's not a three strikes and you're out situation. You can, in theory, take emergency contraception as many times as you need to in your life. Research so far doesn't suggest that that has any negative impact on your fertility if you do choose to have a family in the future. The only constraint is that once you have taken emergency contraception, it won't then cover you for following instances of unprotected sex. Tolly, I wonder, because the receipts is like really centered around normalizing conversations between women that might have been seen in the past as brash or taboo or forbidden to talk about. Mm-hmm. Have you learned anything from the way you do your podcast about how we should be talking about things like contraception and female sexuality?
Oh, absolutely. And I think one thing I've learned is just to be as open about it as possible, because we have a very, like, all three of us have very different sex lives. Like, one's married, but she had like a whale of a time before getting married. One is still having a whale of a time.
I was going to say, I hope she's
and then there's me who's like, I've had sex with one person. And I'm like, oh my God. So we've all got very different like sexual histories. And it's just being open about it. And in being open about it, you like unintentionally learn so much. Because I remember nobody used to talk about sex. It was kind of like you did it, but you didn't really like maybe do it in your group chat. But we're so open about it. And because it's quite an open forum, we get listeners like email us and tell us their experiences and like use the hashtag. And like on my Twitter timeline, people just speak about it so openly now. And it's kind of like, it's nice because girls are learning so much, and there's so many like sex influencers that are like, no, that's incorrect, or let's correct that, or no, actually, this is what it is. It's not until we start telling stories that people are going to realize, oh, that's not right. Oh, that is a right. No, this is the right way to do it. This is not the right way to do it. And consistently, it's like, yeah, save sex. But if not, there's so many other myths to actually like help you out. Or if you're not ready for a child, you don't have to do that yet.
Yeah. And Alex, as a comedian, unfortunately, you do still work in a field where it's blokes who are expected to tell the jokes. I think that's starting to change, but maybe you have something to share about how the gap between women and men can be brought together, including in terms of things like taking responsibility for contraception and being informed, mutually informed about the things that affect us in our sex lives.
Yeah, massively. I mean, it definitely is changing, especially in cities like London. Mm. I was the only woman on a bill last week, and that is really rare. It was 9 guys and me, so 10 people on the bill. And
I'm glad you clarified on the bill, because otherwise that would have been a hot night.
But yeah, I think there is a massive part of comedy as well that definitely is changing. I do think that geography has something to do with it slightly. Like when I talk about sex and dating a lot in my stand-ups, pretty much all I talk about, to be honest, because it's the most interesting.
It is, yeah.
But when I'm doing gigs in London or to slightly younger audiences or in a city like Manchester or something like that, generally I think guys are pretty cool with it. I don't get a reaction or whatever. But as soon as I'm doing it sort of outside the M25, or in front of a slightly older, maybe like a middle-aged audience, you can see men sort of folding their arms and being uncomfortable that I'm on stage talking about sex so openly. And so I wouldn't even say I'm not really crude about it, because, and also I'm very comfortable with it. So I'm not very cringe-inducing, I would hope, because I'm not trying to say it to shock either. I'm not talking about something just to make somebody feel uncomfortable. I'm just talking about funny stuff, usually self-deprecating. But I do think the day where I can go to a small town up north and talk and get on stage in front of like a working men's club and talk about my sex life and they love it, then that'll be equality.
Well, getting people talking frankly, openly, honestly, having a bit of a laugh about things maybe to break the ice, and then getting down to the more serious stuff, that is what this podcast and Ella One are all about. If you're listening and you want to join in the conversation, you can share your story using the hashtag #MyMorningAfter. There's loads and loads of other tales as well as solid, dependable information on the Ella One website. Tolly, Alex, you are gods of pods. And it has been brilliant to hear your knowledge, your wisdom, and frankly, your hilarious stories.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me.
Thank you.
Well, I opened this show by shaking a packet. And for now, at least, it's time for me to pack it in.
To keep up with this podcast, please do subscribe and follow. And for the latest news and conversations from Ella One, seek out at Ella One UK on Twitter and Instagram. If you have a morning after story to share, you can do so at mymorningafter.co.uk or by using the hashtag #mymorningafter. Join in, join us, and join together in rejecting the unhelpful and unwarranted stigma surrounding emergency contraception. My Morning After, putting taboo to bed.